Let's pray as we open up that passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you that you, in your goodness to us, have preserved Jesus' words. And we pray that as we sit at his feet today and learn from his words, that you would help us to live for him more and to know you better. Amen. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been taking one of Jesus' sayings. You've heard it said, ... but I tell you, ... And we've been taking them one at a time and burying deep down into them. And we've seen that Jesus gets his hands dirty in our lives, our messy lives. We've seen that we're all murderers and we're all adulterers because of the thoughts that we have and the things that we say to one another. But we've also found out that Jesus has fulfilled God's rules for us. He's completed everything for us. He's stuck to God's regulations, God's requirements for us. And he's completed everything for us, and he's given us credit for his obedience. However, he doesn't want us to live exactly as we please. We can't get away with just doing whatever we want. He calls us to be salt and light in the world. So we're imperfect people. We've certainly found that out. But we're made perfect in God's sight, called to live as who we are. And that explains that last pretty striking verse. I wonder if it made you jump out of your skin as John finished up the reading. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay, hands up if you're perfect. One goes up. I won't say who it was. He's sitting towards the back and called Mike. But I won't say who it was. And I think that was tongue-in-cheek anyway. And it seems a high calling, doesn't it? And it is a high calling. But in Christ, we are made perfect because of Jesus' perfection. He gives us his perfection through faith. But we're still called to live as who he's made us, as salt and light. Well, today, the pattern's the same, but it's our relationships that Jesus has in his sights today, our relationships with one another. Jesus turns to those. How should we live in a world of broken relationships where mistrust, revenge, and hatred so often rear their ugly heads, even in my heart? What should we do when we find it hard to get on with someone? So Jesus talks about our one another relationships. And we all have them, don't we? We all have to rub along with different people. In past weeks, we've been looking at one of Jesus' sayings, and that's been a full sermon. Today, we've got three of Jesus' sayings. So I'll just let that sit there for a moment. You'll be pleased that this is not a hostage situation, and we'll be taking a fairly high view look at three different things. Here they are. First of all, we'll be looking at verse 34 and following, and don't swear on an oath. Secondly, we'll be looking at verse 39 and following. Don't resist an evil person, or don't take revenge out on people. And finally, we'll look at Jesus' third of three one another sayings: love your enemies. So what is it Jesus says? How can we learn to be ever saltier and brighter people? Well, first of all, oaths. And verse 34, page 969, if you've closed up your Bibles, 969. In the ancient world, you didn't trust anyone, nobody. There was always somebody waiting to do you over through dishonesty or violence or even murder. And in the Old Testament, there were laws that God gave Israel to prevent his people from going back on their word and being untrustworthy. And that wasn't just so that they lived better lives, that was so that they were different from the nations around them, so they reflected something of God's character in their national life. But the Pharisees, by the time Jesus came along, had classified these oath laws into oaths that had to be kept, and oaths that, well, you could kind of put them on one side a bit, couldn't you? And you don't need to worry about those promises you've made. In other words, by the time Jesus was teaching, it was really hard to tell even among the most religious people whether someone was ever going to keep their word, whether you could trust them at all. I'm sure we've come across people like that, haven't we? Slippery characters who say one thing and do another. The family member who says they'll come around and help, but they never show. The friend you lend a tenner to and never see it again. The washing machine repairman you wait in for all day, and he hasn't even got the decency to say the last one blew up and he's not coming. And it's promises like this that the Israelites swore an oath to keep, day-to-day promises. It's easy to think of more modern examples, isn't it? Political manifestos, business deals, councils' promises. We could keep listing them, couldn't we? But the thing is, then I look at my life and I feel ashamed, because there are countless times when I've said, I'll do something. When I've said, I'll finish something or I'll be somewhere. And I've promised and I haven't delivered. I've not kept my word. Here's one for us to all think about. I'll pray for you, said someone to their friend in trouble. Or said the curate to the congregation member. And then he forgot. Jesus says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. In other words, keep your word. I wonder how many times between us we've said before God and one another that we'll pray for someone, and we've forgotten to do so. Jesus says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. If I say I'm going to do something, then I should jolly well get on and do it. Or otherwise, I shouldn't promise anything at all. But Jesus' yes is always a yes, and his no is always a no. He's never, ever failed to keep a promise. Not once. And Jesus has fulfilled this law even for us, even for me, an unreliable curate. Yes, we've all messed up, and Jesus' challenge to us is to live differently from the world around us, to live as salt, to live as light, and to keep our word every time. To copy Jesus and be always true to our promises. And we're all works in progress, and by grace, that's absolutely fine to be a work in progress and to mess up. We've learnt that over the last few weeks, haven't we, when we've been listening to Jesus' words, that we mess up in all sorts of areas. Our lives are messy. And Jesus says, yeah, they are. But I fulfilled the law for you. Jesus has clothed me, clothed us, in his faithful obedience. In Christ, this law is fulfilled for us. Our yes is yes, our no is always no. Oaths. Next comes revenge. Verse 39, I think. You've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. When I was a teenager, I was bullied quite a lot at school. I was the short-sighted boy with glasses who, in order to see what was on the board, had to sit right at the front of the class and squint. and I was rubbish at sports as well. Therefore, I was bullied. And I used to get the bus home from school, but bizarrely, sometimes there wasn't enough room on the school bus for all of us kids. And one day, I was late out of class for whatever reason, probably because the, I don't know, chemistry teacher had got us doing something really messy and I had to clear up, I don't know. Anyway, I was in the bus queue right at the very back, and to my dismay, I saw the doors close in front of me. I had two options: wait at the local bus stop outside school for an hour and hope the next bus arrived, or start the 45-50 minute walk home. I decided I'd walk. But on the way, not far out of school, two of the school bullies found me. These were the violent ones. So there I was, a defenseless 14 or thereabouts year old, with glasses, and they started punching me in the face, properly beating me up. And these words of Jesus came to my mind: if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. So whilst cowering in the entrance foyer of the local Happy Eater, remember them? I said to one of them, "Go on then, punch the other side as well." And guess what? He did. So I said, "Well, punch the first one." And he did. And it seemed an age and many more punches until one of the Happy Eater staff found us and rescued me. Now, I don't tell you this story to get any sympathy. It was a very long time ago. But I tell you it so that we can ask if that is what Jesus meant when he said, "Turn the other cheek." Does he want us to invite others to walk all over us like I invited the violent bullies? And I think the answer is no. I don't think that is what he wants us to do. He doesn't want doormats. But neither does he want us to do what I did when Adrian Theobald, another one of the school bullies, when he knocked my glasses off in the school bus queue for the nth time, and I gave him a great big right hook and knocked him over right in front of the headmaster. He giggled. Now, I don't think Jesus wants us to turn away. I don't think Jesus wants us to do that. I think he wants us to turn away from revenge on others. He contrasts an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He contrasts that idea with turning the other cheek. He's saying, instead of standing on your rights and taking someone down when they're being rotten to you, rein in that anger. Cool down the situation and don't escalate it with your revenge. And yes, if there's a choice between revenge and having to take another hit, then taking the other hit is better. That's hard to do, isn't it? Really hard to do. Naturally, I want someone to get what's coming to them, don't you? But I'm forgetting the principle of mercy when I do that. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful." Because it's when we show mercy to others that we show that we've really understood the mercy God has given to us. But I will stand on my rights nevertheless. I will be delighted when someone gets what I think they deserve. And yes, they may actually deserve it too. But Jesus says, don't live like that. Turn the other cheek if necessary. And don't seek revenge or just deserts. And how I mess up here as well. How often do I smile when someone I consider a fool, and we found out a few weeks ago, didn't we, that it's never a good idea to consider someone a fool. But when I consider someone a fool, gets what I think has been coming to them. I'm not talking about major crime or anything like that. Just the kind of, ha, serves them right level of stuff. And here's the thing. I'm not someone who actually takes revenge on someone. Not because I never want to, but more because I just simply daren't. But I'm quite happy for someone to fall into a heffalump trap of their own making when I could have prevented them from doing so. Quite happy for that to happen. And that's equally revenge, really, isn't it? My attitude shows that I do want an eye for an eye all too often. But again, to my relief, Jesus has fulfilled this law for me as well. And I'm left with the challenge of being salt and light. The challenge of setting aside my rights and leaving revenge behind. Well, oaths and then revenge. And now finally, and briefly, loving our enemies. Now, this is probably one of Jesus' most famous sayings, isn't it? Even if so many people who quote it have no idea that it came from Jesus' mouth first. And it's very much linked to revenge. If Jesus tells us not to take revenge by orchestrating the downfall of others, then he also tells us to act positively towards our enemies. An enemy is someone we don't love. Someone we'd rather not have in our lives, or if we don't know them, we'd rather they weren't in the world at all. And I think there are two kinds of enemies. First of all, there are those we don't personally know. And secondly, there are those who we do know. And how easy is it to say that we really hate someone if we've never met them? I know someone who once said that he hated both Margaret Thatcher and Ayatollah Khomeini so much that he wished they were both dead. Of course, he himself ended up being gnawed away at by bitterness. Then there's the people who we do know, and rather we didn't know. Shamefully, there are many people in my past I'd rather hadn't been there in the first place. But thankfully, I can't think of anybody at the moment, and I'm grateful to God for working in my life to make that the case, that he's helped me to bear with all sorts of different sorts of people, I guess because I'm aware that they have to bear with me. But I do find it very hard sometimes to love some people and to pray for them. And I suspect that's where most of us are. And you might have a person that you can think of, someone you'd rather you didn't know and wasn't in your life, or maybe somebody you don't know and you would rather they weren't in the world at all. Can I ask that you spend a moment praying for that person? In fact, let's have a moment of quiet now and bring that person quietly before the Lord in silent prayer. I'm going to give us about 20 seconds to do that. Okay, now we've prayed for an enemy once, let's try to remember to do it more often. Jesus says that we ought to. Why? Because he did. Remember what he prayed while he was being nailed to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And while we were still sinners, enemies of God, Christ died for us. And Jesus taught us how to pray. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin, who are enemies against us. And that's praying for our enemies. But remember, when we mess up, because we will, and we do, Jesus has fulfilled this law for us as well. So a mark of people who are salt and light is that we will live well together. If we haven't lost our saltiness and we're not hiding our light under a bowl, then we'll be people who keep their word with the help of God. We'll be people who don't take revenge with the help of God. And we'll be people who pray for our enemies also with the help of God. Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but I tell you," let's ask him to help us live as he tells us. And at the same time, thank him for fulfilling his law in us, so that when God looks at us, he smiles because he sees Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for fulfilling so much for us. Thank you for being obedient and giving us your obedience, crediting it to us. We pray that we would rest in your grace, but not rest so much that we don't, in your power, live more and more for you as who we are each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.